God. I've been really praying
wholeheartedly for our church, for the church, and the gospel of Jesus Christ in our nation. And so I'm gonna share a little bit of some stuff that we did at the men's conference and why I had titled it A Covenant Assault. I know Pastor Dave has shared a few things along those lines in the last few months or so. And what I have found is that no matter how much I study it, I know very little about it. And the more God is teaching me and showing me a revelation of growth that we are experiencing. And so what I want to do is hopefully I want to encourage you today that you're okay wherever you're at and that God has a promise for you. And that promise is going to happen. Okay? And it is through this covenant of salt. And if you ever get a chance, I would encourage you to study it out. And you're going to find yourself in the same place I am, that every time you look at it, you think you know nothing about what you've just studied. Because there's just so much revelation there, and it's just so much to grasp. But we could whittle it down into some simple teachings, hopefully. That's what I've been doing for the last week, is trying to figure out how I can put four sermons into a half hour, 45 minute sermon, you know. But I think hopefully God, with God's help, he will help me, and he will help us gain some understanding of this. So let me pray. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you. You, it is just so wonderful. It is such a privilege. Hallelujah. To find understanding in your word, to find wisdom and knowledge that helps us to attain the things of God, the things of your kingdom, and the purpose and the value that is there. We all need that. We all need encouragement. We all need a lifting up. We all need a filling of your Holy Spirit that surpasses the understanding of everything we even know or have even been trained about or even have sought out. Father, today, let it be your Spirit. Let it be your word. Let it be your revelation that flows upon us, that we may attain something today that will never be lost in our hearts. And I believe that will happen today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! So I'm just going to read this portion of Scripture in Leviticus 2:13-16. And then we're going to get on to a little story about Ruth. I don't know. God just, he just should put Ruth on my heart so gingerly. And I was just looking at this story, and it's like, man, there's probably about 50 sermons in there that we haven't even heard about. But hopefully we'll learn something today. Leviticus 3:13, and every obligation of thy meat offering shall seasoned with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God and be lacking from thy meat. Pay attention. And so it'll never be lacking, man. So pay attention as we move forward. The meat offering, with all thine offering shalt thou offer salt. And thou shalt offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, and shalt offer for the meat offering of thy first fruits green ear of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, and all the frankincense thereof, and it is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew, that was out of the King James. I'm gonna be going out of the New King James pretty much for the rest of this. I got too much stuff. I need like a big giant study hall thing. Hallelujah. But that's, you know, that whole scenario that God put his people through was to give them an understanding that his love and his unending desire is purposeful and never ending. See, that that salt is the picture of everlasting preservation. Okay, the meat he was talking of is the meat of his word, the power of his glory. See, it wasn't just food, because what did he say? We move from children from milk to meat. And we move into this understanding of the word of God that's beyond who we are. And our understanding of who he is begins to grow. He says that faith is as a mustard seed, right? You plant it and it just grows to this wonderful thing. And I used to be under the understanding, something that really hit me was I was really stuck in, is that you got your faith from God. You get this measure, right? And we all have the measure, so it doesn't need to grow. And I was wrong. God showed me last night, you all, you're wrong about this. Because if it's a mustard seed, and Jesus said it'll grow into this great big tree of understanding and wisdom and knowledge and purpose, then faith must grow. Okay? So we need to understand that we need to allow faith to grow. Okay? And when we see that, and when we see the purpose of all that, then things can happen that we really don't even think about sometimes. And we do this Christian thing, we say we believe God, and we're gonna pray about this and pray about that. But how much do we really put understanding into that, that God's faith is gonna come and make that happen? Amen. You know, this I'm gonna talk about this agreement that God has with man. And I'm gonna tell you something, I'm gonna tell a story first. And this just happened this last week. I had to go out of town on business. We went out of town on the 14th, which is Thursday, returning on Sunday evening. We got here late. All of our flights were delayed. But on the way to the airport, I had to stop at the office and do some work, and I found myself running late. And you know, if you don't get to the airport on time, you may miss your flight, because you don't know what's going to happen at the checking in and going through security and all that stuff. So I got very nervous. I was like, oh, God, I got to go. And I just found myself in this frenzy of just trying to buy time, you know? And so I got to the airport, I got there, I let my boss know, hey, I'm there, I'm gonna get on the plane, I'm gonna make it, da-da-da. So I went down and I began to check in, to get my tickets to check in, you know, so I could go check in my bags, and I sat my phones on the counter. Okay? Next thing I know, somebody bumps into me, I look over, I look back, and my phones are gone. Two phones. Gone. Well, maybe it was the will of God that I didn't have phones for 4 days. Maybe he's thinking maybe I would just pay attention to him a little bit more, you know, instead of looking at my phone every minute, see who put a new Facebook feed or whatever the case may be, you know. Sometimes I'm just looking to play spades on my phone or whatever. But, you know, at that moment I thought, I was really messed up. I thought, man, these are expensive phones. And now I got to go out and buy some new phones. Got to replace my, the one's a work phone, right? And I got to call my boss and tell him, guess what? I just lost my phone, which I did. I have to report it. Well, so I get over to the part where all the other people had already been waiting for the plane. Plane was delayed, hour and a half. So here I was in this frenzy for nothing. God had me covered, right? Typical me. Every time I think it's not going to happen, God just says, hey, I got your back. I'm going to help you out. Right? So I get over there, and I begin to tell everybody, man, I lost my phones and stuff. They're all kind of joking, man, he probably dropped them, and they're putting all these scenarios out, you know, because at that point, I couldn't remember how I lost my phones. You know, I had to really think back and kind of run through everything and say, Lord, help me remember what happened. And I remember the last thing I did was set my phones on the counter. And so I said, you know what, but I'm going to tell you guys something. I'm going to believe God that my phones get found. And they all laughed at me. Oh, man, you're at the airport. That, you know, says just no way. I said, all things are possible with God. Okay? And I'm going to refer back to this in a little while. And guess what happened? I got back to the airport Sunday. We got there late. I was borrowing my friend's phone. I looked at a text message. Oh, no, I got home. Got on my Chromebook, and I get an email and it says, I think we might have your phones. If this is this your phone, reply. So I replied back, I described the phone, they said, yeah, we got that one. I said, but by the way, did you find a second phone? Well, describe that one. I described it and it says, I think we got both your phones. So I got down there Monday morning, went over to the lost and found thing at the DIA, and there's my phones. God is so good. You see, even in the little things, see, those phones aren't, this isn't a big thing, and he showed me, this isn't a big thing. Took them away from me for 4 days. It's not that big a deal, man. Pretty powerful. It's a small testimony. Okay? Well, let's get into Ruth now. Okay? And I don't want to take all your time because I'm really good at that. But we're going to read the whole book of Ruth. 24 chapters. But it's important that we read it all. And I think it's important that you pay attention to what is in this book, okay? Because we see Ruth was faithful, and there's, I remember Luai, I think she did a thing on Mother's Day about Ruth, which was so awesome. And it really just opened my eyes to some of the things that, as a man, we sometimes don't pay attention to the women in the Bible, you know? But I'm gonna tell you what, I'm starting to pay attention to the women in the Bible, because after Ruth came Hannah. And big things begin to happen. But see, Ruth was just a small mustard seed of faith that God was pushing upon the earth through the women of God and those who will be faithful. Okay? So let's read this. And this is going to be out of the New King James Version. Now it came, and I'm going to read, kind of just read it straight through. It just takes a few minutes, so don't be too worried. Four chapters, don't take an hour to go through. I learned that real fast. Hallelujah. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Now they took wives for of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And both Mahlon, and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband. Naomi returned with Ruth, and she arose and with her daughter-in-law, and she might return to the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Ooh, by giving them bread. Pay attention to that. Hallelujah. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on away to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-laws, go return each of you to your house. The Lord has dealt kindly with you, as you might deal with the dead and me. And the Lord granted that you may find rest in each of the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons of mine in my womb? And they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old and have a husband to have a husband. If I shall say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, you should also bear sons. Would you wait for them till they grow old? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes and hand, and the Lord has gone out against me. So before we move forward, just, I'm not going to refer back to this, but we always have these reasonings, right? And then we always have to kind of explain off why we should or should not do things, you know? So I just kind of, that's kind of what, something I just kind of picked up out of that, you know? Which is good stuff. I mean, that's why I'm saying, if you really look at this, you can find so much to just begin to look at and begin to study. And she said, look here, verse 15. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Whew. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried, and the Lord so do unto me more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened that they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them, and the women said, it is Naomi. Man, isn't that awesome to get a homecoming like that? Hallelujah. I'll refer back. We're going to have a great homecoming when the Lord takes us home. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But she said unto them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Man, sometimes we can just kind of feel that way, right? When things aren't going our way. Amen. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, and returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Amen. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, and the family of Elimelech, his name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And she left and went and gleaned the fields after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. So you want to pay attention to some of this dialogue in here, because something about the people of God in that day, even though they haven't seen this God, and they've only been told about this God, and probably experienced from the past, have defined this God, they're always blessing one another. They're always speaking favor of the Lord upon one another, whether it's good or bad. See? And that's something I'm going to get to here a little bit later, something we're going to experience with one another, I hope. But pay attention to these. Pay attention to these as you're reading through. Find that place in this story that speaks to you, or that you want to speak to somebody else. See, we need to learn how to bless one another continually. Speak to each other in blessing continually. Okay, I believe this is a foundation that's going to push the church forward into a place greater than we can even imagine. See, sometimes we kind of get caught up, I think, and we're just this church and we're just doing this thing. But I'm telling you something. God is showing me great blessing. Okay? And we need to believe that. We need to begin to speak that upon our lives. If you pray for one another, if you're at home praying, speak that life. Speak that blessing. God bless Pastor Dave. Lord, cause him to learn how to be a greater leader than he already is, to multiply his gifting and the power of God, sustain him. You see? Simple. It's not that hard. Hallelujah. Let's see, 5:2, verse 5. And Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rests a little in the house. And Moab said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter. You will not Will you not? Do not go to the glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to the young woman. Hallelujah. See, God knows when we're really trying hard, and sometimes we get beyond that trying, and he just comes back and kind of pulls us back into his protective wing. That's what's happening here. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from that the young man have drawn. So she fell on her face, bowed down and to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, It has been fully reported to me that all you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to the people whom you do not know, did not know before. The Lord repay your work. Listen to this blessing, man. Listen to this blessing. Okay? Boaz doesn't even know who this person is. She's a foreigner. You know, she's a Moabite. You know? And so here's Boaz, who is growing up in the temple. He knows the word of God. He's followed probably the process since he was born. His family raised him, right? And here he is. And he says, The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to refuge. Man, that's so powerful. That is so powerful. I mean, I wish that upon all of you in this very moment. See, this is a faithful group of people here. And sometimes we might wonder daily, what is it all about? You know, there's so many things in my life that are changing, and this world is against me, and the politics and the government, we can't trust. We don't even, man, I don't even want to look at that anymore. I just don't. It just scares me. And it makes me wonder about those things more continually than wondering about what God's going to do. And we need to bring it back to God, and we need to let him reward us for our faithfulness, because that's what he's wanting to. And I'm going to jump ahead, but you know, when you get into the book of Samuel, and you get with Hannah, and it goes forward, and Samuel's born, and then they cry out for a king, and God was wrath against them. Why? Because they were looking to a man to answer their hopes and prayers. He gave them their man. We don't need a man. We need a God that we know loves us, has entrusted us to the things of his kingdom, and we just need to press in and begin to believe that no matter what is happening in this world, in this country, or whatever's going on. Because we have to be here no matter what. So he's going to help us, and he's going to protect us, and he's going to make sure that we're taken care of. Amen? Amen. Then she said, Let me find favor in your sight, O my Lord, for you have comforted me, and I have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in vinegar. And just to save some time, you know, when men would meet together, and this salt, this covenant of salt, see, salt was very hard to come by. And they didn't get a lot of salt. They put sprinkles of salt, not like us. You know, we can just load it up and that's ourselves or whatever we want to do, right? But there was this dipping oil. And it would have herbs and stuff. And when you make a dipping oil, it's pretty bitter and it's pretty bland. Well, they would throw a sprinkle of salt in it, so it could have flavor. Because see, you're adding flavor to your agreement. You're saying that we have an agreement. See, and God is adding flavor to his agreement with us. See, we can't. See, when you eat a meal that's bland and not so good, it's easy to forget. But when you eat a meal that's put together really well, we ate at this restaurant. No, we had this big dinner thing, and they put this meal together, and these sauces, like, you taste them, and you're like, where did that come from? Whoa! You know, and it was just put together so well. I'll never forget that meal. I will never forget that meal. It was just so good. I wish I could eat that every day. You know, but that's what's going on here. When these agreements are made, they are made so they can never be forgotten. And salt was the substance that preserved that agreement. See, there, even though you don't see this agreement, but there's an agreement being made between Boaz and Ruth in their relationship with one another. You see, it's this mustard seed, this thing that's starting to grow into something very substantial. Okay, hallelujah. Maybe it was his first courtship of him, I don't know. You know, maybe his way is like, hey, I want to impress Ruth. We don't know. He was a very rich man. He didn't have to impress anyone. But for some reason, he felt he needed to attain himself to Ruth. Wow. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So he says at 14, we'll continue. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the meal of the bread and dip a piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And so it's the barley, because they were in the barley harvest, so the barley time, and barley was a substantial thing for the people at that time. It was easier to grow, it was cheaper than wheat. So if you had wheat, you're a pretty wealthy person probably back in that day also. But barley was their wheat, was the grain that they made their breads with and stuff like that. So it's pretty important. This is what's all going on here in this whole story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys with me? Hallelujah. And let's see, 15. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded the young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. And she gleaned the field. See, God's always trying to make it a little bit easier for us, isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, which I didn't look up ephah, so maybe some of you scholars know what that means, but I think it was a lot. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. So also, she also bought out and gave to her what she had kept back, and she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and she said, the man's name with whom I had worked today is Boaz. Then Naomi said to her, daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord. He has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, see, just another blessing right there. This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth the Moabitess said, also he said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter-in-law, that you go out to his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed closely by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with the mother-in-law. Hallelujah. Could somebody give me some water, please? Or just a little thing of water? I should have grabbed one. So, hallelujah. Praise God. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women were with her, he is not our relative. In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor, and therefore, let me get this real quick. David, pour a glass of water. Hallelujah. Verse 3, therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to men until you have finished eating and drinking. And then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. See, there's a preparation that we need to make sure we're preparing ourselves daily for the presence of God and to hear what he's going to tell us to do. I guarantee you some of us would hear him a little more often if we prepared ourselves a little better. And we would probably be a little more active in the kingdom if we heard him daily. I'm just trying to hear him monthly. Lord, just speak something to me, man. You know? But you know what? But he wants us to hear him daily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did accordingly to them that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and said his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of the grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there was a woman laying at his feet. And he said, who are you? Can you imagine that? Ooh, that woman, you know it here. Hallelujah. And she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Well, sometimes we just have to ask. You know, I think I've kind of said that a few times. I'll be honest, I tell God every day, man, I need you to come and cover me, and whatever we're going to do, you know, I really need your help, and I need you to honor me. Because I know one thing that's for sure is that I am human and I need his help. And so we daily, man, ask him to put you under his wing and to cover you and to make sure that whatever this process he has for your life, that he gets you there. Amen. Because we can't get there on our own. And if you're trying to get there on your own, my rebuke to you would be stop and let him help you get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. She's just speaking to her faithfulness again, blessing her because of her faithfulness. Hallelujah. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you have requested, that you request, and all that the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. So that virtuousness, you know, to be faithful and to be righteous before the eyes of God and to be sustained in who you are and not go chasing after things that would make you happier or possibly happier. But he's saying, man, you're so blessed that you understand who this God is. So blessed. Hallelujah. Stay this night in the morning. It shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative to you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty as for you, as the Lord lives. Lay down until morning. And so there was this thing of redemption that was coming. And so they had these laws and these kind of things that were written in their laws. If, you know, if you was the widow of somebody, then the person that was the next relative would come and purchase. We're going to get into that. But would redeem you and give you a husband again and make you fruitful. And so that was part of what's happening here. So remember, we talked about that little mustard seed that just happened in chapter 1? No, this thing is just starting to grow. It's just starting to blossom and begin. The fruitful, you know, sometimes when you see something grow, all you see is these limbs. You know, and they're just trying to survive. They're just trying to survive, but they're growing. See, and sometimes you might look at that thing and you don't see fruit, right? You're not going to see fruit right away. But then one day you're going to see that little part began to grow out, a little leaf, another little leaf, right? And the next thing you know, you got this big bush. What's this? What's happening here, man? This is what's happening here. Hallelujah. But if he did, okay, 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose before one of what could recognize another. Then he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Also he said, bring a shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, is that you, my daughter? See, she's already reaping blessing. 6 ephahs. It's probably a lot. It wasn't just a small gift, but it was a blessing. Okay. Hallelujah. She told her all that the man had done for her, and she said, 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, and he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, and the man will rest until he has concluded the matter this day. Hallelujah. And we're going to read 4, and then we're going to pray. Okay. I have hours of stuff here, and I just realized I couldn't whittle it down. Hallelujah. But that's okay, because if you're listening to the Word of God, I believe He's speaking to your heart right now. He's putting stuff in you supernaturally or through the power of the Holy Spirit that we would never understand how He does these things. Or maybe we do, and we just avoid. Hallelujah. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, a close relative of Boaz had spoken, came by. So Boaz said, come alongside, said friend, and sit down here. And he came aside and sat down. And he took the men, the elders of the city, and said, sit down here. So they sat down, and he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to your brother Elimelech. And I bought it to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of the people. If you'll redeem it, hallelujah, here comes redemption, man. God is a redeemer. Amen. I don't care what's going on in your life right now, where you came from, hallelujah. All I know is I can look back at where I came from, and I know God's a redeemer. Amen. Amen. But if you will not redeem it, then I will tell, then tell me that I may know, for therefore is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. And Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth and the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, and to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. There is an inheritance. Hallelujah. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, and I cannot redeem it. Now it was custom in the former times of Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. A man took off his sandal, gave it to the other, and it was a confirmation of Israel. Isn't that interesting? Hey, man, I got a deal for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I think that refers back to when Jesus took the sandals off his disciples and washed their feet. He was bringing redemption, and he was making a covenant with them. See, we just see it as this humble act, and it's, don't let me ever refrain back and say that any of the teachings that I have ever heard were bad, because they were all great. But God showed me this thing about how this is all leading to Jesus, the Redeemer, our Savior, and some of the acts that He did, and how meaningful they were. And you can refer all that back to Ruth. Amazing. Hallelujah. 8, verse 8, 4:8. Therefore, the close relative said, Boaz, buy it for yourself. So So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elder and all the people, "You are a witness this day that I have brought all that was Elimelech's and that was Chilion's and Mahlon's," I know I'm butchering their names, "from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth and the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through the inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from the position that the gate and the witness this day." Isn't that kind of what Jesus did? He sealed it on the cross that the dead would have an inheritance with him. We have this inheritance. We once were dead, but now we're found, right? We received this great salvation. We received this life. It's not talking about the dead. It's talking about those who are dead in spirit have now received life. Amen? Amen? And if I'm wrong, there's somebody correct me. Because there's a lot here. Hallelujah. Next preacher. Come on up. Hallelujah. I forgot where I'm at. Hallelujah. Verse 11. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses, and the Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel." Look at that blessing. These people don't even know her. All they know is that she was faithful to Naomi, and she is a Moabite. And the welcoming into the kingdom of God. She says, "The Lord make this woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah." Hallelujah. The two who built the house of Israel, the sands of the sea. That you may prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. What's the fame of Bethlehem? What is the fame of Bethlehem? Anybody? Shout it out. Jesus. Woo! You see where this whole thing led to? It's just prophetic. It's a prophetic word. It's a prophetic story that's a mustard seed of faith that's leading to the Redeemer. Powerful. Man, I had to repent. Lord, I didn't pay attention to your word enough. I didn't read your word enough. I should have saw this years ago. I saw it today. Hallelujah. I have a Redeemer. And he's saying, "Manny, it's okay. I showed you. Now you can find that path of righteousness. You can find that place of purpose. Become brave again. Begin to proclaim the word of God to the dead so they can become the living." Amen. Hallelujah. 13 in closing. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became the wife, and he went to her, and the Lord gave her conception and bore a son. And the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel." Woo, man. Look at those blessings that are just being spoken out. And I don't believe those blessings were spoken out just by chance. The Holy Spirit came. Their faith in God came and began to give them words of purpose. You'd have to be pretty darn brave to be speaking that kind of life on somebody. And to be speaking purpose and vision without knowing what was coming. Hallelujah. Lord, use me in that way. Man. Hallelujah. Was it Jeremiah said, "Lord, send me"? He didn't know. And then he tried to back out of it. Well, I'm too young. I'm only 16. Well, good. You're trainable. You're not like Manny Lopez, who thought he knew it all before I found him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm loving this, guys. Amen. 14. Hold on. Okay, we're going to read that again. Then the woman said to Naaman, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, that his name may be famous in Israel. And may he be to the restorer of life and the nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, you be better than you seven sons and born him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Wow. See, we get so caught up in thinking, you know, it is the nation of God, the Hebrew nation, but all these people came from so many different places. And this is why he says in Isaiah, Assyria, Moab, and these other nations, you are my children. And I could never really, I've understood it for a while, but it became even more so clear. He doesn't care about your heritage. He doesn't care about your size, your wealth. He doesn't care about where you came from, the lowest or the highest. He just wants us to hear his voice and do his will on the earth. Amen. Maybe Pastor Dave gives me a chance to share again. I can kind of follow up on some of this. Hallelujah. I just thank God that he gives me too much. Because it helps me have to just go home now and pray even more and pray even longer and listen even more and listen even longer so I could hear what he wants for his people. So this is what we're going to do today. This is what God told me to do. So we're going to do it. And I want you guys to participate. Please participate. I want you to find somebody and speak a word of life into their life. If you've been in prayer over the last few weeks or month or so, and somebody put somebody on your heart and you're not sure what is going on, well, I believe right now God wants to give you a word, and it's going to come an ushering through the Holy Spirit. Just speak life unto them. If you need a word of life spoken to you, just come up and I will speak a word of life on you. Okay? I'd like someone to speak a word of life on me. I really feel, listen, this isn't just a thing. This isn't just some kind of emotions we're going through. It's not a ritual thing. I believe God wants to begin to push us into this life like Ruth, where, look, it's just a pattern that we're all going through. We're all going through stuff. We're all moving from one place to another, relationship to relationships, and finding things that are going on. But really, the bottom line is, we just need the Holy Spirit, the power of God, to begin to transform us more into the likeness of Christ, so that we're doing his work on the earth and not being worried about all of these things. Look at that. Her inheritance, Elimelech, was a rich man. And she lost it all. And God said, no, I'm going to take you on this little pattern, this little path, because of your faithfulness. And I'm going to speak to you guys, because of your faithfulness, God wants to do something wonderful and magnificent for your life.